Hope, yay, she's back.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's nice to be on a, well, it's not nice. It's different being on this side.
I know what you mean. It is, well, on one end, it's kind of nice to like do something different, I think.
Definitely. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's kind of nice outside in LA today, and I totally forgot. I was like, oh my gosh, she moved. Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's actually today has been really nice. I mean, that's really nice for New York standards.
Right.
It's like when we got here, like it just felt so dead and dreary. I had a new appreciation for LA.
Did you? I want to ask because I mean, I haven't always lived here in LA, but like, how was the transition for you going there to New York?
Well, I mean, it was tough. Like, it's you go from, I was in LA for 8 years. So, like, just the weather alone is a big transition. So, yeah, I mean, it's tough. Anyone that's moved to a new place or has moved cross country, like, knows that it's challenging, any type of move. But I think, like, with COVID, there were so many changes that it was just like, add that to the list of shit
Yeah.
that went on. So,
Seriously, 'cause I mean like it's my third year I think here in LA and I want to say I'm just now for the lack of better words like acclimating. Like I felt like even though I was only moving from NorCal, which it's not a huge move, you know what I mean? But it's like props to you for making that decision, for making that move, for transitioning in the midst of everything, and still like continuing to engage with us because I think like that's a big deal.
well, thank you for that.
Like,
Yeah.
thank you for joining us. I am so glad like everyone's able to join, and if you are just hopping on now, again, we are talking or we're continuing our small business series today. More so talking about small businesses, but also connecting that with mental health, and just kind of like just having a coffee chat with you guys. So, yeah, I'd love for you to start off just by introducing yourself, your background, and we kind of talked about where you're located, but totally up to you if you want to talk more about that.
So I'm Jillian. I am from New York originally, and have been living in LA for the last 8 years. My journey, we'll say career-wise, has taken me to different parts of the country. I went to college in Boston, Emerson College. When I graduated, I had my first real job as a news reporter. I studied journalism in college, and that was on the border of Illinois and Iowa. So that was a big transition, going from New York, going to college in the city, and then moving to Illinois, Iowa, like, very, very rural, and joining the community as a news reporter. So, in terms of like moving, I think I feel like I've been here before.
Right.
So then from news is rough. I mean, news is like props to everyone that does TV news because the schedule, like the lifestyle alone is rough. Like you're waking up really early in the morning, like going on air, like waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 1 o'clock to get ready. And then you're on air, and it's just, I mean, anyone that works like night hours knows that it's tough.
Right.
So long story short, not for me. Plus, like local news, some of the stories that you do are just feel like filling airtime. You have a 2 hour show and you have to fill those slots. So realize like it's not for me. And that's what took me to LA originally, and where I started really in media there. Got to LA, I was working at the show The Voice on NBC, like with the chairs. Yeah. So that was awesome. I mean, that show was really amazing. It's like the beginning of the show. Like the first six seasons I was there, or it came on like season two. And that was a real community. Like anyone who like works in TV knows the kind of magic of it all. Like you don't really know if it's going to be a successful show. Like it's all new. And then you have, you shoot for a certain amount of time and then you go on a break and then everyone comes back and like start up a new season. So yeah, I have a lot of love for TV and The Voice, because it was, again, like my first job in Los Angeles. And then from there, that's when I kind of veered off into my own business, which is media marketing. And I was still in entertaining when I veered off. I was working with a PR agency, and then I realized that so much of what I do and like what I have done, like the reporting, like telling stories, creating content, like, because as a news reporter, I was a one woman band. I was pitching the stories, shooting, editing, you know, going back to the station, like cutting it all up together, like writing it out, then going on air and reporting. Like it's a lot. Yeah. It's like boot camp. So obviously the skills that I had with learning, like that I learned in college and as a news reporter, were really coming into play at that time. That's when social media was coming out, and it's like now everyone has access to the media. Like now it's not just TV. You know, like people, marketing used to be like you pay for ads, or you know, you have a budget to make a commercial that goes on TV. Then like with social media, now everyone has access to just people in general, to an audience. So that is where like I really brought value to other businesses. That's how my whole, like me having a small business, my agency started.
Wow.
So yeah.
That's crazy. I love that you shared like your background, like your history, and like how it all kind of came together, because so I'm an actor, and I feel like a lot of the things that as actors nowadays, like we have to wear different hats. We have to learn different things. We literally have to do what you just said. You do, you know what I mean? Like nowadays with new media, specifically like that area, like, and COVID, a lot of us are learning how to produce our own thing. What, and opening up our own doors in a sense, like where are we going to put it out? What platform? How are we going to make connections? And I feel like in a sense, like these are all the things that content creators do, but like we didn't think we would have to do nowadays, you know. A lot of us just want to act,
like, yes,
we just want, it's so stressful to have to do everything else, you know. So like I love that you tapped into that, because it really is so much more than what we see, you know. An audience, taking myself out and just like looking at your, will be like, oh, like Jillian's really good at making content, Jillian's really good at like executing. Don't think like, well, what are the small details? You know, because kind of dog training, all dogs are big things, right? The little things are big things,
right?
So I'm
hold on 1 second.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Keep sorry.
No worries.
Hold on 1 second. All right, Dad.
People understand, seriously, it's almost like not a big deal, it happens.
Sorry about that.
No worries. scary. Someone was just like, got people on the phone, and it's like, dude, totally. Yeah, I guess I'm curious, like, during that whole process, did you ever kind of think you were going to get a dog? Did you already want a dog at that time?
Oh my gosh, well, dogs have always been in my life. Mm. Like, it's, even though Rika is my first Belgian Malinois, it's, yeah, I mean, I grew up with dogs, and Rika's just a different breed. I mean, it's just been a whole new experience with Rika. And like having her as a puppy. I've never had a puppy, you know, growing up, the dogs, I had a collie and a German Shepherd. The German Shepherd we got when he was like 7 months, and he was out of control, just so wild, like running loose. Like, I mean, my brothers and I like love Timber so much, but looking back, we're like, holy crap, like how did he even like survive? Because he was just like running around the whole neighborhood, and like all the neighborhood, we would all like chase him. It was just kind of chaotic. So
I can kind of relate though, because Etsu is my fourth dog, but my three other dogs were like, you know, like we did our best, or I did my best, but it's like, now I think now as an adult, having a dog is just, wow, it opens up your mind into like, oh my gosh, there's like so many things that I normalized, or I felt was normal, but like didn't really know, oh, maybe we should train.
Exactly. Like that wasn't even a thing.
Yeah. So I'm curious, did you, because you said that dogs have always been part of your life, but like, during this time when you were going through like a lot of stuff with media, news, did you have a dog, or did any of your family members have a dog at that time?
Well, when I was a news reporter, actually, that's when I adopted Tito, the little rescue chihuahua. I was doing a story on dogs being euthanized. And at the time, like having moved to Illinois to report, and not knowing anyone in the area, and also working like these crazy weird hours, like it gets pretty lonely. And so that's when I did the story, like fell in love with Tito and adopted Tito. He was going to be euthanized for biting, so that he had that history, and he was already 3 years old. But yeah, that's, Tito was definitely in my life. I mean, I remember I would run with Tito like 3 miles every single day. Tito's like six, crazy, at the time, like 6-7 pounds. Like this little dog running. Like,
oh my gosh.
An hour.
That's amazing.
I haven't thought about that. Yeah, Tito was putting in work. Yeah.
So oh my gosh, like, so crazy.
That was 10 years ago. Yeah. And then Rika,
Oh, go ahead.
And then, so then I got Rika last April. So like just pretty much in like the beginning of COVID, and Rika is definitely like my saving grace during COVID. Yeah. So.
I totally feel you. What was it like in terms of mental health? What was it like being part of news? Not necessarily like going over to The Voice It, but just specifically like news, because I'm not familiar, but from the outside looking in, it feels like tough.
Oh my gosh, tough is definitely an understatement. I mean I don't think you have to like work in local news to really know what it's like. Because first off, the schedule is insane. Like you go into the news station not knowing what you're going to cover that day. And then you have like 30 minutes to, you know, either, you know, you're working on a story, you get tips from people like what's going on in the community, or like people will call with a story. You also have to check the police scanners to see what's going on with the community, and then from there, you know, you have the morning meeting where you're pitching to the director. And like just that alone, like in that 30 minutes, like even that is like stressful to people. Like you got 30 minutes, there's a whole a community of stuff going on. What, like, what are we going to show on the news today? It's like, it's a lot. And then, but you get used to it, you know, you're conditioned to be used to that type of pressure. And then you get the story, you know, tell the story, shoot the story. So with mental health, it's definitely like all put on the back burner. Like you're not thinking, oh, how do I feel right now? Like you're just thinking about what story do I have to tell today? Like what story is, am I putting on the news? And you really don't have time to like basically like feel how you feel. Like, yeah, you might be having like a shitty personal life, but it's like you get to the station, it's like TV is the only thing that matters right now. And so you just, that, and that's really where the mental health portion of your life is really on the back burner. And I think then it like creeps up on you later on.
Yeah. Can you dive a little bit more on like when you say creeps up on you later on? Like how does that manifest for you? Because I feel like everyone's slightly different.
Yeah.
But I'm curious how that manifests for you.
I mean, I think really it's like it's kind of, it's like taxing on your body. Like if you don't, first off, it's like you have to take care of your body in terms of like even just like exercising, eating right, sleeping, like food, exercise, sleep, like those are like the things that like you have to take care of. And like I think when you're reporting, like I had a hard time, like if there was a really tough story, I remember like my sleep would be the first thing that would go. And like, I would need to sleep, like sleeping and exercise, like, so running was my thing. Not so much anymore, but when I was a reporter, I would run because it was like the most efficient way to like, you know, get the endorphins going. And then like eating, so during when you're recording, it's like you gotta scarf down food like whenever you can. It's not really like, and honestly, the lifestyle like that is pressure in itself. And I'm sure you know this, like being an actor, it's like then you're on camera and like then your size and your weight, like how you look, all of that comes into play. Like so, there's a lot of stuff that is just for other people looking in might not understand why, like why would you do that? Or like that's kind of messed up, but that's just how it is. Yeah. That's the job.
Yeah. And I can definitely relate because depending on your project, you could have 12-hour days, you could have 14-hour days, and granted SAG, you know, tries to make sure everything's like up to par. Every job is different. And so like if the job calls for it, sometimes you get up like 4 o'clock just to drive and then get somewhere to like have the meeting. And then you just don't know. It's one of those things I feel like we can do our best to mentally prepare for, but we don't really know how it's going to hit until later on. And that's why I'm curious like how it goes for you, because like for someone like me, like I am in therapy. It's something like I need weekly therapy just to make sure like I'm on top of things per se, like emotionally speaking. And I think it's one of those things that like mental health looks different for me in every season, you know, making sure that my mental health is okay may look one way when things are slow. And then it's going to have to look very, very, very different when things are like picking up, you know? Mm-hmm. And there is the possibility that even if like, I think I'm okay, if I put it in the back burner, which happens, it just happens. I can have what I think to be panic attacks. I think it's just like out of nowhere. And then I'll talk over it with my therapist and they're like, it's actually an anxiety attack that was like, that just took like a week, you know, to slowly like build and go through. And it's one of those things I feel like isn't like talked about enough. You know, like for me, most of the time when things happen, it's like, it's not right at that moment. It's like prolonged. And then once I'm by myself, that's when it'll happen and it'll hit me and I'll be like, oh my God, like what is happening? Where is this coming from? But really it was just an accumulation of everything, every stimuli I've been receiving, every amount of information, like sensory overload can contribute to that. And being part of news where you're taking things in very, very fast and then you have to share that. It's like, that's a whole different type of processing.
Yeah, definitely. I thank you for sharing that about your experience with therapy. I mean, therapy has been part of my life for like for the last 10 years, but also, you know, growing up, therapy was part of our family's life. And I think kudos to my parents, because I think like our parents' generation, I don't know how it is with you, but how they see therapy is very, very different from how I see therapy and from how our generation sees it. Like the fact that both of us can be like, yeah, we have therapists, like that's pretty freaking awesome. You know, if you, like, I know for a fact, like, you know, like how my parents grew up, therapy, you don't go to therapy because that's not like, are like, it may be seen as like weak, yeah, or like that never let them see you sweat mentality. Like it's just that wasn't a thing, you know. And I think now, like thanks to social media, people are more willing to talk about how they feel and say that like sometimes we feel shitty and sometimes we need to talk about that shitty feeling so that we can move past it.
Right. Yeah, 100%. I can definitely relate to that. My family background, we didn't really like talk about stuff with each other, you know what I mean? And like I think therapy is still something I hesitate to talk about sometimes. It's still hard, you know? And that's why I think, like, also with your experience in media, both the news and The Voice, like, I found it really interesting that you said, like, you love the community, because that is, like, one aspect that I also fall in love with. When you're in the process of things, you kind of like fall in love with the people, you know, but like that is huge and key for our own mental health, you know, like having a therapist is like one form of support, but like that's not where support ends. So I think like one way I kind of phrase it is like, instead of just like talking about therapy or thinking of therapy as like this like scary thing that I can sometimes do, like I have to just remind myself like it's the same thing as like building a community and getting that support and just making sure that like I have people to talk with about certain things, because I do have a tendency to hide it from others and sometimes from myself.
Definitely.
So yeah. I want to get a little into that too, was like when you started doing things with The Voice, like what specific things do you feel like you took away from that to contribute to your now?
I mean, it's like, it's so crazy. It's like, okay, like from going from being a news reporter into The Voice, like that transition, like joining a new community.
Yeah.
Are you asking what was that like?
Yeah, like your transition for that. And like, how did that affect your decisions now?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think I definitely, for better or for worse, I definitely think I take a jump and I might not see like where I'm going, but I'm like, I want this, you know, and I definitely go for it. And I think like with the voice, I definitely, like I wanted to work there. I saw the opportunity and, you know, then when I got there, I was myself, you know, I was new, you know, you have to know that I've never worked on a TV show before. Like you have to like know where you stand, but you also have to realize like, people are just people, you know, like, and I feel like, I mean, looking at all the people at The Voice, like amazingly open, kind, smart, creative people that are inclusive, you know, you come join the team and it's like, hell yeah. Like, welcome to The Voice. It takes a village, and I definitely felt that with The Voice, and that's how I feel with honestly the whole dog community. Mm. Like with YOLOpup, I feel really, really grateful because, I mean, I think so many of us really, really crave that human connection. You know, we all went into lockdown. I think it was March 12th. I remember it so vividly. Do you remember the day, or I don't? How was it for you?
For which day specifically?
Like going into lockdown.
So I didn't have Etsy yet at that time. I think, like, to be very, very honest, when the lockdown first happened, like, I think I was more okay than I was, like, a few months in. Mm-hmm. I think it was, like, because I am very much an introvert, it was more like, to be very honest, I was like, oh, like, now I have an excuse to be an introvert and it's accepted. Like, that's literally, yeah, like the beginning, you know? And then afterwards, yeah, I was like, wow, like, you know, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be. There was, yeah, like a transition with having to do more Zoom meetings. And I was like, man, I think, like, I thought, you know, this was going to be okay because I'm an introvert, but like Zoom meetings are taking more of a toll on me than it would be if I was to have a coffee with someone in person, like, mm-hmm, for real, like having to do things, like everything digitally. Mm-hmm. And I got Etsu on May of that year. So I think, like, kind of like Rika, like, she was definitely what helped me.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
But yeah, good. Like with you, how was that?
Well, when we got word that COVID was happening, I remember in February, I was actually in New York for a big pitch meeting with a new company. And like we were hearing about COVID, like, you know, I remember making predictions with friends in New York City being like, oh, it's like only going to be like 2 weeks, you know, it's not going to be like, we had no idea what was coming.
Yeah.
And I think it was the day that they cut off borders. Like if you couldn't fly from Europe to New York, like you had to go through London. And I was in New York at the time, and I'm like, fuck, I need to get back to LA. Like, I don't know when I might be closed out. Like, mm-hmm, that feeling of like not knowing what's going to happen, like started then in February, and like having my own business, that was scary for me. Like, what's going to happen? Like, this affects everyone. Like my clients, like they have giant overheads. Like what is going to be cut first? Like in marketing, social media, like that absolutely is going to be cut first. You know, that you have a staff of X amount, like everyone is just trying to figure this out, and in like this, in a time where you have no idea, like you don't know what this virus is, you don't know like when the lockdown, I mean, it just, it's like stresses me out just talking about it. It was a real, I was scared for sure. I mean, yeah. What a year.
Yeah, it has definitely been interesting. I think I don't know, like I can't guarantee that this is, that COVID has a role in us talking more about our mental health. I feel like it does. But I feel like, I mean, I'll use me as an example. I feel like when I was younger, there were a lot of things I kind of like put in the back of my head and that's just like shut out. And I, as an adult, I don't remember, you know what I mean? But it affects me to my day to day. Oh no. Okay, there we go. But yeah, like I feel like I've had a lot of those moments that like, because of the pandemic, I've had to like face them, but I didn't know what I was going to be facing until I finally started, you know, talking about it in therapy and like talking about it to friends and even sharing a little bit here and there online. And it feels like, you know, for better or for worse, like COVID has kind of like helped us normalize mental health. And the conversation and the need for community, which I absolutely love that. I guess my thing is like, I noticed you said it earlier, like you love the community with the voice and that they were very, very inclusive. And I feel like that's a very, like that's a huge blessing to find in the industry. And I'm not saying it's not normal, but I feel like it's a little hard in the industry to find people who are genuinely inclusive and who genuinely feel like family. And I think it does happen in projects, but it takes time to find that, you know, it takes time to build your village. And I feel like you've done such a great job with YOLOPUP that I'm curious if that is partially the reason that you've done such a great job with it.
First off, thank you so much for that. I mean, I feel very, very grateful. And I think that the voice absolutely played a role in like what kind of community I want YOLOPUP to be. And it is very much inclusive and like everybody matters. Like I, on the voice, everybody mattered. Like the grip person, Crafty, the executive producer, you know, the talent, like checking in, like everyone played a role. And I think like with YOLOPUP, like, everyone plays a role. Like, okay, let's the dog sport people, it's like the decoy, you know, all these different moving parts, you know, pet dogs. And I know that I just want it to be a safe space for everyone.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter like what kind of color you have. Yeah. Like everyone loves dogs and everyone wants the best for their dogs. And honestly, during COVID, like people want to feel good and have a sense of normalcy.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? Well, I feel like I'm a little all over the place with this question, but I'm curious, like, how was mental health for you in each of your, the different parts of your journey? And how has that changed, or have you had to change anything with COVID in terms of, like, mental health and, like, being proactive and, like, you know, just kind of creating that normalcy?
Mm-hmm. I think my awareness of like how important mental health is has definitely grown. And I've been more like, holy shit, like I need to get better with how I'm taking care of myself and my mind. Like, I think when I was younger, I I wasn't able to like pinpoint it like I am now. Like I am able to say, hey, I'm like not getting, I'm feeling off. Like I need to sleep more. I need to, you know, take a break from my phone, take a break from social media. I need to step back from editing. Like I can, you know, I think like, do you edit?
Or yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's like, if you're in the zone, like it's hard to like rip yourself away from the computer. And I say it like that, I think you get so tuned in. And I think like being a reporter and like being on deadline and it being like, this is the only thing that matters, it definitely programs your mind to be like that. Like yeah. Where like things outside of this story, this video, this like whatever it is, like can kind of consume you. So I think like, you know, like timers or just like kind of being aware of like everything is important for me personally, because I mean you could just like totally disconnect if you're not like checking in and out.
Yeah, you know? That's huge. I it's funny, I've been working on this video the past couple of days, and I'll be very honest. I mean, yesterday was like chill because I kind of took that day to like regroup and just spend time with my boyfriend, spend time with Etsu. But since Monday, it was just like every single day I would be more focused on like editing. And I realized on Wednesday, I was like, oh my gosh, like I feel bad because like, Etsu kind of, I mean, Etsu's pretty chill. She's like a moderately active dog. She's not like extremely active. So that was nice. But like, she doesn't get as much walks when I'm in the zone. I stop eating because I forget. Like, it's not a mental like, oh, I'm not going to, you know, it's more so like, I just forget. Mm-hmm. I get dehydrated because I don't drink my water. And then, like, I'll notice, like, Etsu's definitely the one who, like, who shows me the energy level. Like, hey, we haven't done anything today.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I can definitely relate to that with Rega.
Yeah, because, like, you'll see their energy. You'll see their restlessness. And if it wasn't for that, I think I would be stuck in my bubble, to be very honest. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I like that you mentioned timers. I will say I don't quite do timers. I think I have this like thing where I'll stop it and then I just forget. So I've started to set alarms. But I'd love to hear like what else you've kind of done to like structure your day, or if you have like a daily routine or a guideline to make sure that you are productive, yes, but at the same time that you're maintaining, like, your health, in a sense.
I mean, I am absolutely a work in progress. Like, I need to be better with my mental health. But what I try to do and what I try to implement is, it is, like, really, well, I have to work out with Rika, because she has to work out. Like, it's definitely something that is like, it's going to happen. It has to happen. It has to happen for me and it has to happen for her. So, that's the number one thing. In LA, it was a lot easier. You know, it's sunny every day. Like, yeah. I used to work out with her like every single morning. Here it's been much harder. You know, so it's snowing out and it's freezing out, you know, like some days I'm like, oh, I don't want to go outside. And like, I've had to get creative with Rika's training. But I've also had to like, you know, get more prepared in terms of like, okay, you're going to put on all your snow stuff. You're going to go and like get it out of the way. You got to do it because you got other shit to do. It's like, oh, this feels horrible and I don't feel like doing it, but like, let me just go. And it always feels better afterwards. But yeah, I really do think like exercise is like the number one thing that helps me like just kind it, yeah, it's the number one thing that helps me. But if we're talking about like social media and mental health and all that and like setting timers, it's like if I don't have that, I'm like toward, I'm kind of I'm not really even sure how to answer this question because I feel like I'm still figuring it out.
Makes
Like
sense.
it's weird because it's like with Yola Pup, I'm the boss. Like I'm not reporting to anyone. I'm not like you know, it's weird. It's I mean, it's not weird. It's just like I have to create the structure. Like I have to work out and I have to figure out my stuff like for myself for a living. Like I just have to. And so that's kind of why I feel kind of stumped with the question,
That's
you know?
okay. I think, like, I find that beautiful that you said that because I think there's a lot of us that can relate to, like, figuring it out and being in that process. And I feel like we don't hear that enough. At least I don't. And sometimes it can feel like, oh my God, why haven't I figured it out? Like, why haven't I figured out what works for me? And sometimes as adults, we can be like, we are at X amount of time, or we are however old we are, and we have this expectation that we're adults now, we should have things figured out. But like, I feel like being an entrepreneur is an amazing blessing, but it has so much more responsibilities in terms of like time management and like understanding yourself. And I, in a sense, it almost kind of forces us to have a form of self-love. To not self-sabotage. I mean, at least those are my thoughts.
I mean, it's like there's trade-offs. Like I look at my friends that are, you know, have worked for a company and are it's more secure. Like they have it's just it's more secure, more stable, more consistent. And like being an entrepreneur, you're not gonna get that. Like that's just how it is. So like even like when the pandemic like when we went into lockdown for an entrepreneur for a person who has their own business, of course they would go into that like scared mode because you know what's coming. You know that change is coming and I think like how I am wired, it's like all right, we gotta like figure this out. And yeah, you're right, like we don't really hear like the I don't know, you know, we always want to have an answer to whatever the question is, but sometimes we just don't know. And I think it's the like being okay with the I don't know that kind of like gets you through.
Yeah, you know what you just made me think of is like, so I've shared a couple times that one of the reasons I really enjoy training with Etsu is the creative problem solving aspect. You know, like, yes, there are moments where, okay, like this is what we should be doing, but there are times that you just get put in different situation and what you were doing doesn't work. And it's so fun to like figure it out. But like, ironically, it's so weird that I feel like it's easier to have fun to figure things out with your dog than it is to figure things out with yourself. Like, we don't have that same mentality of like, oh, this is fun. I have to figure things out for my life, or I have to figure out my future. This is fun. Like, how often do we really say that, you know? So yeah, that's just kind of like what you just made me think of right now.
Oh, wait, let me see Etsu.
Oh yeah, she is here.
Oh my gosh. Hi, sweetie. She's so freaking cute. She's beautiful.
Thank you.
How old is she?
She is a year and a half now. I got her in May of last year, so a little less than a year ago. And I can't believe it's only been like not even a year yet. It feels like I've had her, but I didn't get her till she was 8 months old. So yeah.
You're a cutie.
Thanks. I did have a question, kind of going into like dog training too, is do dogs feed off of the state of our mental health? Or do you feel like dogs feed off of our mental health? And beyond just recognizing how we are feeling, does our disposition affect how they are feeling? That was a question for you by one of our followers.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Yeah. So I feel like S is
just so cute.
Do you feel like dogs feed off of the state of our mental health? Beyond just recognizing how we are feeling, does our disposition affect how they are feeling?
I think definitely. I think, like, especially for puppies, like, I know, like, with Rika, like, in terms of, like, reactivity and all that, like, I have said throughout this last year, like, Rika has forced me to step up as a leader because mm-hmm. it didn't matter. Like, I'm was, like, throughout COVID, you know, I, back in April, May, like, my marketing company was completely dissolved. Like my clients can't afford it. Like retainers like drop. Like, so here I am like feeling like shit about my work situation. And then I have a puppy who's like, you know, relying on me to take care of her. It's a big crazy world. It's like, I gotta get my shit together. Like you're a little pup. This is scary. Everything's scary for you. I'm scared too, but like I'm not gonna let you know that I'm scared. Like we gotta like take on the world. And I think like it's like through that definitely like made me feel stronger and like made me feel like empowered in a way.
I love that. I feel like I've kind of shared in the past a little bit how like I'm typically the kind of person that just like loves to observe. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm not quick to like share them. So ironically in a way, like having Etsu, she kind of forced me to really like advocate for her, you know, and I had to learn how to use my voice. And the more and it's still a work in progress, but the more I advocate for her, the more I use my voice, I feel like the more I'm actually having more confidence in who I am. And ironically, in a weird way, like this whole dog training thing is what's helping me be like, oh, this is what I want for my life, and claim that in all the other areas, you know, whether like, even though this is starting with dog training, it's affecting acting. It's affecting, you know, things in social media. It's affecting like how I speak in my relationships. And I love that you mentioned that, because it's like, it is very, very empowering. And it's the kind of stuff that we don't think about when we're like, we're going to get a dog and our dog's going to change us.
Mm-hmm. And, oh my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're so right, like how, you know, using your voice and using the tone and like even standing up tall, like all of that matters. And it's amazing how it really does shape you as a person.
Yeah, I love that. Let's see. Also, I didn't get to mention this, but if you are on this live right now and you didn't get a chance to ask any questions earlier, please feel free to ask questions below. And of course, if we aren't able to address it right now, or if you decide you ask the question later on, feel free to DM us and we will be happy to answer your questions. So yeah, I think another question I had in terms of that is like for you, as a small business owner who is also an advocate for mental health, what are some ways you think we can normalize this conversation or at least contribute to it?
I think in our day-to-day lives, like in the real world, like with our personal lives, I think asking people how they feel and like really letting them speak and like really being present for them, I think can make a huge, huge difference in like in everyone's life. Because I think like that question, like, how are you doing? How are you feeling? It's like one of those questions where, you know, the short answer, I'm good, fine, you know, like the little thing. It's like, if you ask somebody how they feel in real life, like in your personal life, really like take a step back and like ask how they feel and like, and listen and be present. Because I think a lot of people don't share and bottle it up, and then, you know, it's held down, and then, you know, it kind of explodes. And I think like if we all put up, like acknowledge that everyone has shitty feelings and like, you know, like everyone is going through their own challenges, if we like created space for other people to open up and like get out how they're feeling, I think it would kind of make life better for everyone.
Yeah. And in terms of like being a small business owner, do you think like having a small business or just being in that position, do you think it's changed or made it harder to have those conversations? Or do you think how is it different, do you think?
I mean, for having a small business, I mean, I definitely know that with my clients, like, I definitely was that, like, fear for them. Like, they are like, I have this problem. It's a marketing problem. It's a media problem. It's, you know, a business problem. It's, like, these problems, like, I've always been, like, part of the solution. I mean, every business solves a problem. But for clients, because it's such a personal relationship, like they do feel comfortable talking to me, and like I try to be, and I think, I mean, it's my job to be present and really listen so that we can figure out like what can we do to make it work or to solve it. Being a business owner, you have to be a good listener. If you're not a good listener, you can't have your own business.
Right. That's good. I think, like, a lot of times we can go into it for other reasons, which are fine. But I think that it's so good to be reminded, like, we have to listen. Because a lot of times we go into it to create or to be artistic or to, you know, your own boss, and like, you know what I mean, there's a lot of different reasons for that, but starting a small business is like, it has its own challenges. And right as soon as they started, I feel like there's that question of like, how do we maintain this, how do we develop connections and really nurture those relationships, because at the end of the day it's a relationship business.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how, it's like asking, it's like, it's goes back to the whole like relationships, like being kind, being inclusive, like being open, like you have to be a little bit vulnerable too, you know, like everyone kind of has their own way of sharing, you know. I know certain, for me, like certain relationships, it requires like a different setting. Like I know how people, like you have to be, I mean, you first off, you have to want to like get to know someone, you have to want to like connect with someone, because I think a lot of the time, if we're in a bad place, like we are less, we're less likely, or we don't want to like give ourselves to like someone else in the way that's like, you know, you only have so much bandwidth You know, it's like, fuck, I'm trying to hold it all together. Like, I don't have enough. Like, I can't hear your problems too. Like, it's too much. And I think, like, the first thing is, like, figuring out, you gotta, that whole, like, put your air mask on before helping somebody else. I think that's, like, that's definitely, like, the number one thing is, like, take care of yourself, but also, like, in listening to others, it will help, like, free you and make you feel like you're not so alone, or it's nice to, like, help other people. And I mean, it's a community. Again, it's like we all are going through stuff, and I think, like, small business or not, it's just, like, human to human.
Wow. So I feel like what I'm hearing you say is sometimes we are hesitant to pour into others because we feel like there's not that much left inside of us. But by listening, sometimes people could actually pour into us.
Yes. Yes.
I love that. I'm definitely guilty of that. Like, I'm definitely guilty of, like, oh no, how much do I have? You know, like you said, the bandwidth. So I love how you phrase that, because I think it's a very common human tendency to want to withhold. So in terms of, like, for you, how do you balance content creation, engagement, and, like, you know, like, community building stuff, while also making sure you have, I mean, for the lack of better words, that you're in that bandwidth? Like, how do you balance all of that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think for me, because I'm a beginner and because I'm learning, like, it's like all in one. Like, it's us, like, sharing our journey. So, like, the engagement, the stuff that we're doing together, like, I want to share that. And then, like, how do I create balance? Shit, I don't even know. I think because, like, YOLOPUP is a living thing, like, it's like a machine, let's say, like, it's like a being, it's like a living entity. It's like, I want to feel it. And, like, I know this machine, I know Instagram, I know this media. And so I'm programmed to fill it, you know? And so, like, by filling it, it's like, okay, well, what are we doing? Okay, this is our training. This is where we're at. So I guess, like, I think I'm classically conditioned to fill this medium and fill this outlet and fill this new business.
Yeah. I love that. Do you feel like, in terms of content creation, do you schedule that separately, or do you kind of just do it whenever?
Well, for content creation, I mean, it depends on the week. Like, I've been slipping, like, the last, so I'd say, I mean, really the last, like, month, I haven't been as consistent. I think the first, like, I'd say, like, I would do, like, a longer form video once a week. And then, like, I was doing one post a day at least, but I've scaled back just because, like, because I've had to prioritize my own mental health, you know? So, like, sometimes I can't get in a post because, like, I have to focus on, like, me, Jillian, the human, yeah, you know? And, like, that's, like, where the whole, like, balance comes in, where it's, like, no, like, YOLOPUP will be okay if I don't post today. And, like, I need to, like, you know, take care of myself and, like, take care of Reika, like, really take care of myself, before doing any of that, because it's, I don't want to put out, it's like, it's not worth it. Like one post, like the mental health comes first, and like making sure that I'm okay. And then I can, you know, work on content. It's like, right. I think it's so funny. It's like social media is like, it's so addictive in a way. Cause it's like, you know, the whole dopamine, like you post something and you get a reaction. And it's fun to share, like, and it's fun to connect. And it's, I mean, I appreciate social media. But it's like, it's not the end of the world if you don't post. Like, nothing's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Oh, I think a lot of the times, like, people, if you have an Instagram, you know, it's like, oh my God, I gotta post. It's like, nobody cares.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm loving that you mentioned this. Because I think, man, my head is in movies right now, and I don't even know what movie I'm talking about, but I just remember watching this movie on, or maybe it was a TV show, where the lead was like, you know, kind of saying they have to fix everything, they have to do this, they have to show up, they have to be the boss, but really it's like, oh, it's a Yes Day. So I don't know if you've seen Yes Day on Netflix, so I'm not gonna try to like share anything on it, but essentially what I'm saying is, like, sometimes it's very easy to feel like we need to constantly show up, otherwise the whole thing is going to fall apart. I think, like, that's such a, I don't know, for whatever it is, it feels like this innate thing that just comes up, you know. Mm-hmm. But you're so right, like, the reality is, like, it's okay, and for some reason that's harder to let that sink in. Like, what do you mean it's okay? What do you mean? But yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because I was just watching Yes Day the other day.
it's like so simple, but yeah, it's kind of freeing in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this has been so fun. It's just so fun to talk to you. This is like my first time like having this full-on conversation, and it's been so refreshing. Thank you for sharing everything and just being vulnerable with us. And yeah, is there anything that you would like to share or talk about?
No, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for talking about this very important topic. I mean, mental health, but also doing the small business series. I think it's really important for people to share what they're going through, also to share what they're working on business-wise. You know, like, businesses were really, really rocked. And I think it's really important for people to remember, like, how they are, you know, serving the community, what they're bringing to the table, how they can help other people. So I think small business, so thank you for creating space for small business owners to share what they do.
And thanks for that.
Of course, the mental health aspect of
yeah. That. I mean, I think, like, my original intent with the small business series is like to really bridge the gap between like small businesses and dog owners, or just like small businesses and the general consumers. And just to like really put a face to the name and get to know who they are, their personality. And yeah, I feel like there's a lot of things that are unsaid. Being a small business owner specifically, and I hope that we give voice to the unheard, or we give voice to the things that we keep to ourselves and let it be seen, and know that it's going to be okay if it is seen. Mm-hmm. You know, I've found that it's really difficult for a lot of small business owners to show their face on Instagram Live, so I'm so, so, so grateful that you have joined us. I think it takes courage and power to do it weekly, like what you're doing, or to do in any scale at all. And yeah, it's just very, very inspiring. And I hope that more small business owners listen to this as well, even later on in the replay, because you have been such an encouraging part of the community.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
Of course. Sending all our best to you and Etsu, and I'll talk to you soon, and I'm happy to chat whenever. So
thank you. Have a great Friday.
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.